All right. That's right. Let's give them a honk. Let them know that you're being appreciated. All right. We didn't look at the announcements yet, but let me remind you that we have a Sunday evening informal service here at the church outside in the playground, 6:30 p.m., led by John Johnson. So join us for that as worship and teaching. Men's prayer breakfast is every Thursday morning, 7:30. We had a dozen last week. We'd love to see more of you come. So join us. All it costs is for an inexpensive breakfast, and you get all that fellowship and all the support. Those who want to, we hike around the lake afterwards, so we get a little physical workout also. Women's fellowship is still moving forward. Still at Grass Valley Lake every Thursday morning, 9:30. And youth group is every Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. We're back on. So Ben took a couple weeks off, but he's back. Speaking of Ben, his wife Katie has been our secretary for at least 5 or 6 or 7 years. I'm not sure how long. But the complications of life and having babies and changes, she's decided to step back from that. And so be praying as we look to our next possible secretary. But do we appreciate Katie, all she's done for us through the years? She's right over here. She's in her car right over here. Thank you, Katie. We love you. Now, script can be bought from Don Latva. He's in the white car. Don and Billy, he's waving right now. And Don and Billy will not be here next Sunday. So if you want to buy script, buy enough to last 2 weeks. And don't forget, there's an offering box in the sanctuary, or you can give your offering to any of the guys in the vests, and they'll make sure it gets into the box. Finally, let me mention that Sarah Winch, longtime member of our church, has decided to sell her home and move in with her family in South Carolina. It's just at that point of life where she needs a little extra care, and that's the way they've worked it out. So if you would like to say your goodbyes to Sarah, say them before October 19th. That's when the family will be here. They'll be focusing on moving. So don't wait to say your goodbyes. You may never see Sarah again. She's in South Carolina. And you who love her, give her a call. And if you want to schedule a visit with her, call ahead to do that. So that's all the announcements I have. Is there anything I overlooked? Speak now or forever hold your peace. All right. We're going to look to God's word, but before we do, let's pray. Father, thank you again that we have your word, that we have instructions for living, and we've got your word clearly preserved for us. Thank you that we have your Bible, and we still have the freedom to speak it. Lord, I pray that you be with this weak messenger. Let your strong message come through. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today I want to talk to you about an issue we can all relate to. Worry. Worry, anxiety, stress, fear of the future, fear of the unknown. We're in a sermon series in the book of Philippians. We've gone through chapters 1, 2, 3, and we've begun 4. And the sermon series is called Joyful Living in a Chaotic World. And boy, do we have a chaotic world. It seems like sometimes the chaos of this world rubs off on us. Gets to us. And 2020 has been an appropriate year to look at this book, this positive book, because it's been a year like none other. What more can possibly happen? Along with the normal pressures of life that we've had all of our life, and there's plenty of those, we now have the added stresses of a pandemic. As I interact with people, I sense that some people are kind of on the edge. They're having trouble coping with the uncertainty of life. And their worry is robbing them of sleep, robbing them of the peace and joy that God wants to give them. They're asking questions like, what could possibly happen next? This year has been so filled with trouble. What will happen with the election? We worry about that. Which way will our country go? Will our economy suffer or thrive? Will I have a job? And if I have a job, will I be able to afford supporting my family? Will we continue to have racial conflicts? riots and shootings. All these things kind of weigh on us on top of our normal troubles, the troubles of the world. So add to all this your personal issues with your family, with your health, with relationships, and we all agree that we have plenty to worry about. Then as we read Philippians 4, we come across this statement. Be anxious for nothing. That's verse 6, chapter 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing. Now, Paul, you don't know our circumstances. We've got lots to be worried about. He responds, well, you don't know my circumstances. I'm in a prison, chained to a Roman guard. I've got not a penny to my name. My future is uncertain too. And yet he says, be anxious. Don't worry. Be anxious for nothing. Is that possible? Isn't worry natural? Don't we all worry? Yes, worry is a natural human emotion. But it must be controlled. Just because it's natural doesn't mean it's right and good. Fear is a natural reaction too, natural emotion. But God tells us, do not fear. You can conquer your fear. You can face your fear. Do not be fearful. Be strong and courageous. So even though fear is natural, doesn't mean it's good. And the same thing with worry. Just because worry is natural, doesn't mean it's good for us. Another one of those emotions that's natural is anger. It's natural to get angry. And sometimes it's right to get angry. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. So there is some kind of angers that probably are justifiable, but most of our anger is not. So our anger, even though it's natural, must be controlled. If we don't control our anger, anger will fly off our temper and express it. How about lust? Lust is a natural emotion, but it must be controlled. If we don't control our lust, we get in deep trouble. Immorality. That's why God has given us the option of love and marriage to control those natural emotions. So just because we have natural human emotions does not mean we give in to them. They must be controlled or they will control us. So what we're talking about today is worry. Sure, worry is natural. You can have a little worry here and there, but don't let it control you. One of the fruit of the Spirit, we read, is self-control. God wants you to be able to control your natural inclinations. With God's help, we can control our natural tendencies. And with God's help, we can overcome and control worry. It does not have to control us. We can control it. One author says it this way, the presence of worry is unavoidable. The presence of worry is unavoidable. We're going to have trouble in this world. But the prison of worry is to be avoided at all costs. Let me say it this way. The presence of anxiety is unavoidable. But the prison of anxiety, to be caught up with it and have a control of life, that must be avoided at all costs. There's self-control there. The Holy Spirit can give you victory over the prison of worry and anxiety. When we find ourselves wallowing in worry, which some of us do every day, some of us do every hour, some of us do every minute, we wallow in worry, we must deliberately, purposely break the pattern. We must do something to change it, or it'll take over our life. We must break the chains of worry and anxiety, and don't let these emotions imprison us, destroy us. So let me ask you, are you imprisoned by worry? Is your life filled with anxiety? Is stress getting the best of you? Are you tense, wrapped up, worked up? A man shared with his doctor about his unusual dreams. He says, Doc, last night I dreamed I was a teepee. And the night before I dreamed I was a pup tent. What's wrong with me, doctor? Oh, that's easy, the doctor said. You're too tense. It takes a while for that one to land. Are you too tense? Are you too wound up? Too anxious? Fortunately, God has a remedy for your worry. Now, this is not an all-inclusive answer, but we've got a couple of verses here that are going to really help in the area of worry and anxiety. As I read these verses, let me tell you right now, we're going to look at four ways we can overcome worry. Four ways we can overcome worry from this text. This is God's remedy for worry. I'm going to read Philippians 4, 4 through 8. You have this scripture in your bulletin as an add-in, an insert. So follow along, reading from the New American Standard Bible. That's the same Bible in the pews inside the church. So if you want to follow along, Philippians 4, 4 through 8 begins. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there be any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Dwell on these things. These verses reveal how we can move from worry to peace. It talks about be anxious for nothing. And by the end, you get the peace of God that passes all understanding. How to move from panic to peace, from chaos to calm. Isn't that what we want? Isn't that what we need? To move forward, not backwards. This week, I listened to a sermon by Max Licato. I know some people call him Max Licato. Tomato, tomato. Licato, Licato. It doesn't matter to me how he says his name. You know who he is. Writer of many wonderful books. And he had a message with the same title, Be Anxious for Nothing. So I was drawn to it and I listened to it. And so today I'm actually borrowing his outline. It was such a good outline. And so it's an outline that spells the word calm, C-A-L-M. It's an acrostic. I'm going to give you four statements beginning with these letters, C-A-L-M. And these are four steps that will help us control our worry, help us conquer our anxiety. Four statements. Again, I can't take credit for this outline, Max Licato. First one, letter C. If you'd like to take notes, it's in your bulletin. Celebrate God's goodness. If you want to get over worrying about your troubles, celebrate God's goodness. And the verse we have for this is, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. Now, as I mentioned before, Paul's circumstances didn't cause rejoicing. He didn't say, rejoice in my circumstance. Rejoice in your situation. Rejoice in your prison. He says, no, rejoice in the Lord. You can look past your troubles and rejoice in the Lord. Don't just focus on your problems. That's what God is saying. Focus on Christ. The more you look at your problems, the bigger they grow. We just see more and more problems, and they just seem to swell. Psychologists always want us to rehash our problems, dissect our problems, try to find someone else to blame, and only spirals us down deeper and deeper into depression. And unfortunately, there's no real solution. There's no resolution. What these doctors do in the end is they give you medication. Now, I'm not against medicating. Doctors, we need you. We need help sometimes. But a lot of times, we're over-medicating and less trusting in the Lord. God tells us to stop looking down at our problems and start looking up. Rejoice in the Lord. Look past your problems and look to Him. Be farsighted. Rejoice in the Lord. When troubled, He should be our focus. When you're worrying about your present, that's when you stop and start counting your blessings from the past. Say, look what God has done. Look where He's brought me. Look how He's provided. Look at your past. And then also look at your future. Say, look at what God has promised. Look at what, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, God has promised good things for us. He's got good purposes. And when you look back and when you look forward, then you can start looking at your presence and saying, God, you're faithful. Great is your faithfulness. You will take care of me. You've done it in the past. You can do it in the future, and you'll get me through this thing. So we celebrate God's goodness. Stop worrying about your troubles and start celebrating, rejoicing in the Lord. I've shared with you Psalm 121, one of my favorite passages. And I quote this myself. It says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From where shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. I like those first few verses, few words. I will lift up my eyes. I will lift up my eyes. Whenever I get discouraged, I find myself looking down at the troubles. I'm being anxious. I'm being stressed. I quote this verse for myself. I say, no, Mike, I will lift up my eyes. I will set my affection on things above. I will stop thinking about the trouble and start thinking about God. It's my go-to verse. It's my inner pep talk. I will lift up my eyes. It's a determination you make. You have to decide that yourself. Someone else can say, oh, look up, count your blessings. You've got to do that yourself. When Peter was walking on the water, got out of the boat, he was focused on Christ, and he was walking right across the waves, right to Jesus. But when he got his eyes off of Jesus and started looking at his troubles, or looking at the wind and the waves, suddenly he began to sink because he got his eyes off of Christ. And when he refocused on Christ, Christ was there and lifted him up, and they walked back together. Isn't that what life's about? We're surrounded by waves of trouble. And we can easily look at those waves and start sinking, get discouraged, spiral down. What are you looking at? Are you looking at your problems? Are you looking to the Lord? Rejoice in the Lord. That's what Paul says. Don't worry. Rejoice. Refocus on Jesus. He'll lift you up. He'll lift you out of the miry clay and put your feet on solid ground. So that's number one. C, celebrate God's goodness. If you want to get past worrying constantly, stop worrying and start thinking about God and His goodness. Number two, ask God for help. That's the A letter of the word calm. Ask God for help. The verse for this one is verse 6. We read it a moment ago. Be anxious for nothing, but what? But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. He says, are you anxious? Stop being anxious. Start looking to God. Paul reminds us we need to pray. Rather than go to man for answers, turn to God in prayer. He's the only one that really can solve the spiritual problems of your heart. Sure, there's doctors and psychologists that might help, but only Christ can heal the inside, the spiritual side, the emotional side. Call on God. Ask for help. Psalm 50, verse 15 says, call on me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you. Call on who? Call on Christ. Call on God, and He will deliver you. Peter tells us, cast all your care on Him. Cast all your anxiety on Him. Cast all your worry on Him, for He cares for you. We need to pray. We need to ask God for help. Now, don't get hung up on these words. We've got the word prayer. We know what prayer is. It's asking God. Supplication is making requests of God. So these are all very similar words. They're all telling us the same thing. Ask. Ask. Seek. Knock. Come to God. This is an essential truth. Our prayers should be with thanksgiving. Did you see that? How should we pray? It says, with thanksgiving. Our prayer should be less about complaining. Oh, God, you see my problems. Oh, God, I'm in trouble. It should be more on thanksgiving. God, thank you for your faithfulness to me. Thank you for your deliverance of me. Thank you in ahead of time for how you're going to work these things out for me. So it's with thanksgiving is a very important phrase here. It's less about rehashing our worries to God. He knows them. It's more about worshiping God. So pray with a thankful heart. Even if you say, I don't know what I can be thankful for. You're thankful for the Lord. Thank you for His presence. Thank you for His power. Like we noticed before, it says rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice sounds like being thankful. We express our gratefulness, our joy. When we do that, our worries fade away. When we're thinking about God and we're thanking Him, then our worries become less dominant. In the same way that light overcomes darkness, thankfulness overcomes anxiety. You can't be thankful and anxious at the same time. Max Lucado says it this way. He says, anxiety and gratitude cannot share the same heart. Don't you love that? Anxiety and gratitude cannot share the same heart. Your heart's either going to be filled with worry and anxious thoughts, or your heart's going to be filled with thankfulness. You can't do both. Fill your heart with thanksgiving, and your worries will be chased away. As a matter of fact, we read here in verse 7 that God exchanges our worry for something much better. Look at verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Isn't that a fantastic promise? God takes our worries, because we cast all our care upon Him, and He gives us His peace in exchange. That's a pretty good deal. He exchanges our chaos for His calm. You can live in chaos. You can live in anxiety. You can live in worship. In worry. That's your option. But why would you? When He says, cast it all on me. Pray to me. Be thankful to me. And I'll give you calm. I'll give you peace. Now, if you cling to your anxiety, you will forfeit God's peace. If you cling to it and say, I just got to worry about this thing, then you're forfeiting what God wants to give you, His peace. They are mutually exclusive. You cannot have both. Which will you choose? To be anxious or to be thankful? Okay, we've had two steps. Step one in conquering worry is celebrate the goodness of God. And number two for conquering worry is ask God for help. Ask God for help. He alone can really help. Number three, leave your concerns with God. L, leave your concerns with God. When you give your worries to God, don't take them back. You won't solve your problems by worrying about them. Worrying more and more about it, it's not going to solve anything. You can leave them in God's capable hands. I found some interesting statistics about worry. Here's what I learned. 40% of all worry is about things that never happen. 40% of the worry is what might happen, and we look at every scenario and we worry about them all. But 40% of all our worry are about things that really don't matter. They won't happen anyway. 30% of our worry is about the past. We worry about what we've done, what we did, and how we're going to get past it, and we're worried about things that we cannot change. You're wasting your time worrying about your past. Isn't it Paul that said, putting the past behind me, I march forward, I press on? 12% of our worry is about criticism from others. We're all worried about what people think. And it's a lot of untrue things in our own mind. We think about what people might be thinking about us, and we worry about that. 10% of our worry, according to this statistic, is about our health. Now, probably the older you get, that number rises as we start worrying about our health. That only leaves 8% of our worry for real problems that we face. So we worry a lot less and trust a lot more. So most of our worry is wasted on needless things. We lose a lot of sleep with unnecessary anxiety. We exert a lot of emotional energy to solve some phantom problem, some unreal problem. It doesn't make much sense. And so this point is, leave your concerns in God's hands. Put them in God's hand and let go. Now, when you take your car to a mechanic for a repair, do you sit in the back seat and wait for the repair? Do you say, I'm just going to stay here and watch? Or do you stay overnight in the car because the car is going to be there overnight? You stay in the car, really close to your car, and say, I'll just stick around in case the mechanic needs my help. Is that what you do? No, you trust the mechanic. You leave it in his hands, and you walk away, and you let the mechanic do his thing. You trust that he'll have the skill to fix your car, your motorcycle, your motorhome, whatever it is you've left in his hands. Likewise, when we cast our cares upon Christ, when we give him our troubles and our worries, we need to leave them in his hands and stop taking them back and say, I need to help solve this problem. Some things you can't solve, but you can trust God. God doesn't need your help to solve the problems of the world. You can worry about the problems of the world, but it's not going to help anything. He's the Almighty God. He doesn't need anyone's help, let alone ours. So leave it in God's hands. Let me give you a couple examples. Are you worried about the election? Some of you are saying yes. Stop it. Your worrying will not affect the election. Only your vote will. And you've got one vote, vote and be done with it. You don't have to convince others. Trust that God is sovereign over the nations and be at peace. Stop worrying about this election. God will have his way. God worked through Nero and other wrong kinds of kings. Fortunately, we've got a couple of men that potentially have great potential to move us forward as a nation. So stop worrying and let God be God. He's in control. Are you worried about this pandemic? Stop it. Your worrying won't solve anything. Your worrying won't solve anything. Sure, don't take unnecessary risks. If you feel like you're in danger, stay away from people, wear masks, do what you can. But trust your life. Trust that your life is in God's hand. And the Bible says, by worrying, you cannot add 1 minute to your life, Jesus says. You cannot change your life by worrying about it. As a matter of fact, you only affect it in a negative way. Stop worrying about the pandemic. Are you worried about your income? Stop it. Do all you can to work hard. Be the best worker there. Show up early. Do your job. Take on the extra shifts if you need to. Be the best worker and trust that God is your provider, not your employer. God's your provider, and be at peace. Are you worried about wildfires? Well, we do live in a dangerous place. We've all been through wildfires and evacuations. Stop worrying about it. Your worrying is not going to stop the fire. No, it's going to save your community. Do what you can to prevent fires, sure. Clear your brush, take logical steps, make sure you got a tank of gas, make sure you got your photos ready to go. Do what you can to prepare, but don't worry. Simply trust God that he knows what's best and live in peace in this beautiful, wonderful place. You worry about something that might not happen. I've been worrying about fires for 10 years and we haven't had a good one up here for a long time. Stop worrying about it. Are you worried about your unsaved spouse? Your unsaved children? Your family? Stop it. Your worrying won't bring them to salvation. Share truth with them in a tactful way. Nudge them gently towards God's kingdom. Pray for them. Live out your faith before them, but leave the results to God. You cannot be the Holy Spirit in their life. You cannot feel guilty if they don't receive Christ. Each one must make his own choice. Each person is accountable. You share, pray, and live in peace. Don't worry about it. Are you worried about your health? Stop it. Your worrying won't help. It may actually hurt. You know, worry and anxiety can bring us down and bring down our immune system. We can get sicker because we're worrying. Sure, eat healthy, get exercise, choose good doctors, get the best treatment possible, but realize your days are in God's hand and live in peace. You're not going to die before God's plan will. So don't worry about it. So worry doesn't accomplish anything. God's sovereignty is where we need to trust. So we've looked at 3 steps. Conquering worry. Number 1, celebrate God's goodness. Rejoice in the Lord. Change your focus. Number 2, ask God for help. Don't do this alone. Ask God for help. And number 3, leave your concerns in the hands of God. Finally, the last step in overcoming worry is meditate on good things. Meditate on good things. You see, worry is just the opposite. It's meditating on bad things. It's thinking about all that can possibly go wrong, all that has gone wrong. You're to meditate on good things. Instead of filling your mind with worry, fill it with good things, with positive things. We read that in verse 8. Finally, brethren, Paul says, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there be any excellence, if there be anything worthy of praise, 8 things, he says, dwell on these things. Dwell on these things. That's quite a list. We won't try to define these. You can study that out on your own if you want. But suffice it to say, if you think about positive things, you won't have time to think about negative things. If you fill your minds with all these kind of things, you won't be worrying about every little issue. You must control your thought life. You must control your thought life. When you find yourself listening to rumors, thanks guys, my little papers are flying around. It's nice to have a breeze. I'm thankful for the breeze. Are you thankful for the breeze? All right. Let's go back to this. You must control your thought life. When you find yourself thinking about rumors, then deliberately replace those thoughts with something true. He says, whatever is true, think on these things. Whatever is pure, think on these things. Whatever is right. When you find yourself slipping into lustful thinking, deliberately replace those thoughts with something pure, something good. Say, I shouldn't be thinking that way. And so close your eyes and think, I'm going to think a different direction. Something pure, something good. When you find yourself worrying, you got to stop. Say, I have control of my thoughts. I'm going to take every thought captive, the Bible says, and deliberately replace those worries with something worthy of praise, rejoicing in the Lord. I do this all the time. When I find my mind slipping into dangerous territory, when I find my heart worrying, I deliberately say, I'm going to sing a worship song. One that comes to my mind a lot is Great is Thy Faithfulness. When I'm worrying, I say, Great is Thy Faithfulness, O God, my Father. So we get to remember that God is faithful, that He's true, that He's taken care of us, and He will be there through us, through it all. Or I think of the other song, It Is Well With My Soul. When I think, oh, things aren't so good right now, I think, It Is Well With My Soul. So I sing a song in my heart, in my mind. If no one's around, I might even sing it out loud. But the song, the worship songs, chase away the worry, chase away the wrong thoughts. It helps me focus on things that are worthy of praise. So another way we learn here to overcome our anxiety is to meditate on that which is good. Dwell on that which is good. Think about that which is good. Ponder. Fill your mind with the good, and it will chase away the worry. Well, that's it. Four biblical steps to overcoming anxiety and worry. Number one, celebrate God's goodness. Number two, ask God for help. Number three, leave your concerns with God. And number four, meditate on good things. All I see is upward, upward, upward. Look up. Set your affection to things above. I will lift up my eyes. Stop looking down at your troubles. Start looking up to God. Amen? If you do these things consistently, God will replace your worry with His peace. God will replace your chaos with His calm. We want calm, don't we? Let's pray. Father, thank you that we have a part in this. That peace doesn't just take over and calm doesn't take over. We have to chase out the worry, chase out lust, chase out negative things. And we need to be filled with your calm, your peace. Lord, help us to meditate on things that are right and good and pure. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for joining us today for this worship time. We're going to have one more worship song as we close. If you'd like to visit with myself, I'll be by this exit over here, and I'll have my mask on. So if you are wearing a mask, I'll wear a mask. If yours is down, then I'll bring mine down. So I will gauge my discussion with you according to how risky you want to greet one another. So God bless you, folks. Let's sing one more song.